variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here, so much more importantly, the author, the novelist, the wife, the mother, the dancer, the radio show talk show host, and I'm proud to be her co-pilot once again, and so much more, Renaissance woman, Melissa Itell Duran. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Doing well. And what did you think about our third debate last night, the Democratic third debate? A lot of bashing, and somebody went after, Julian Castro went after Biden pretty hard. What did you think of that?
A low blow, you know, below the belt. Maybe not the wisest move to make, because I don't think it went over very well with the audience and the participants. I think it was in bad taste, and of course he was trying to score points. You know, how senile Joe Biden is. Like, he was baiting him. I thought that was rather, you know, that was rather crude.
Yeah. Well, just for those out there who didn't hear it, what did he say exactly? What was it that people are talking about that they thought was below the belt?
Well, he said something about Medicare for all. I mean, who would be signed up for Medicare? And Julian Castro had his turn to speak, and he said, but he countered Biden and said, "Well, you just said a few moments ago, and you don't remember, you know, like you, it reminded me so much of." In a high school, you know, you're taunting somebody else. You don't remember you said that? Of course you did. You're how convenient. You know, I mean, are you starting to lose your memory? Has old age? I mean, those were the intonations. It was an ageist reference, and I thought it was in poor taste, and I don't think it reflected very well on Mr. Castro.
Yeah. Well, wasn't say I think some of the people on the stage quietly were glad that he did that. You know, they didn't want to do it themselves, and they didn't want to look like they were pleased with it. But I do think that they probably liked the point getting across that that was there. But it did not go over well. The other guy made some name for Andrew Yang. It got a little bit of attention, right? He's going to kind of do a lottery or something. I don't know what the heck he's doing, but I know Jimmy Fallon said, "Wow, that was the worst proposal I've ever seen on this network." And keep in mind, I've watched every episode of The Bachelorette. And if you remember what he said, he's going to take, 10 families, 10 families out. You could approach him, and he's going to give them $1,000 a month and $20,000 or something like that. But it was bizarre. It was out of left field, and I know Jimmy Kimmel did kind of a bit on it where the Price is Right contestants are running, yelling, and screaming in the background like pick me, and I don't know. How do you think that went over?
Oh, I don't know. It sounds like they're pitted against each other, Amy Klobuchar made a point. She said, a house divided cannot stand. I mean, it gets to the point where it's absurd.
Yeah, right. You know, but look, at the end of the day, it's gonna get nasty at times. People are gonna break down. They're gonna attack the leader. All of these things are commonplace. I mean, nothing's shocking to me. I mean, Joe Biden is gonna be attacked. He's gonna get beat up, and if we start seeing the numbers go down, they'll continue to do it. If the numbers aren't going down, they're going to wait till he slips up. He is gaffe prone, and I don't know. Are people just believing that he can get through this whole thing? I mean, you saw a third debate. Does it look like Joe Biden's going to lose his lead anytime soon?
Well, it's early now, but we're not that far away. We're not that far off from the first primaries, the caucus in the winter. If he can hold on, that would be good. The point is, he's only getting what now? Is it 30%, 29%?
Yeah.
And it remains to be seen what happens in the next couple of debates. I think there are two in October.
There's two coming up in October, and right. You know, all eyes will be on that. And you know, I'll tell you, if he gets through them, it looks like he's not clear sailing. But if he gets through them and his numbers are untouched, he's going into New Hampshire and Iowa with a decent lead, and mm-hmm. has a chance to win both of those states. And listen, one of them would probably be enough to keep him up as the front runner. And going from there, and again, anything can happen day to day, but those two debates are big. If the numbers don't shift, I don't know what's going to shift them. Get out the vote. I'm sure Biden's going to have a great turnout and have a great operation mm-hmm. underneath, and they're going to. I don't know. I mean, everybody keeps telling me, and people in Congress are telling me, people in the Senate are telling me, they don't believe Biden. And on both sides, mm-hmm. they don't believe Biden could survive the primary process. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, again, maybe they're right. I wouldn't think he would, but I just don't know who would be standing. It's not like this is an all-star team. You know, there's nobody there that stands out. This isn't the Hall of Fame of politics here, you know, and coming back to life and whatever. There's no Jeffersons there, and there's no Lincolns, and no, you know, it's not an all-star cast.
No, it's not. I mean, we're not looking. I mean, look, this is, I think, the best that they have to offer. We don't know. Maybe there's someone hiding out in the wings, waiting out. You know who I'm mentioning.
Yeah, the big H. The H sign, like the bat signal, coming up there.
Right. You know, she was peering through the curtains last night, saying, "Oh, let's see. Somebody's going to fall. There's going to be a crack for me to enter, and then I'm going to make my move, and I'm going to save the party. And this time, my slogan will be, 'You can count on me, really.'"
Trust me, this time you definitely can count on me. This time I'll do it.
That's right. I'm going to do it. The third time's the charm.
Well, I mean, hypothetically, if she was in there, and actually, before I even ask, let me remind folks, go to melissaiteljorn.com and go to iheartradio.com and binge listen to everything that we've been doing here. But if Hillary was in there right now, would she be leading Biden?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe
she would, right?
Maybe. I mean, a lot of people who were supporters, who were, you know, big backers of her in 2016, became disillusioned with her as soon as the election was over. And I asked, not soon, but maybe a year later, I said, "Do you think Hillary will come back? Do you think she could do it again? Let's say she wanted to." "No, she's finished." I mean, this was coming from women. So I wonder what the reception would be now. Would it be very lukewarm, or would it be, "Oh, not again. We had enough of this. You know, you're finished, lady." You know, step out of the way.
Yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? It's maybe all of that, but I don't know. There's an exhausted level that the public is. Now, I don't know if that's just anti-Hillary people being exhausted. I mean, are the pro-Hillary people exhausted too? I mean, are some of them like, "Oh, please don't do this"? You know, I don't know. It would be shocking for her to come out of the left field. Maybe if Biden went mm-hmm. down and it was a free for all, maybe she says, "You know what? I got to mm-hmm. do it. The country needs me. That bat signal went off and I'm here to answer. The big H is here." You know, I mean, could that happen? I mean, all kidding aside, could it possibly happen?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Biden wouldn't have to go down.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if she'll do it. I think Hillary will probably remain as a kingmaker, or definitely a big, you know, Democratic voice. I don't know if you can call her an elder statesman, stateswoman, but she definitely will be. She's one of the alums. And I don't know. I don't know. Somebody might pop up. I can't say. I have a feeling someone might. I mean, it's not inconceivable. Bill Clinton announced his candidacy for the first time in October of 91 or 92? 91.
91 is when he announced. 92 is when he ran.
Right, right. Yeah, which was considered late because everybody else, you know, and but they didn't have a field of 55 people at that time. Here it's a very different situation. Everybody, you know, 55 of them all declared quite early. Biden coming in April, and then and Tom Steyer, whom we didn't see because he didn't have the numbers to qualify for this debate, and threw his money and everything else into the ring, and we missed a lot of people, incidentally, who were at the previous two debates, but they didn't make the cut. So, look, I think from now this is the group we have to work with now, unless something should change between October and January.
You know, I just had a conversation with a couple of key Republicans out here where I live, and they're politicos, and I asked them about the debate, and separately, they didn't talk to each other, and I said, who do you like out of this crew? And these are Republicans. You know what they told me? Klobuchar. Why would Republicans, and again, MelissaEiteljuren.com, everyone, is where to go to find out more about her. Watch the documentary there. Why would they, Republicans, and these are staunch Republicans, why would they like Klobuchar?
Well, I think, why would anyone like her? Well, because she is middle of the road. No. I mean it in a nice way.
Right.
She's middle of the road. She's not the same. She's not, who's more left than I am? Medicare for all, this and that. No, she's more, I think she's a realist. And she sounds more sensible than the rest of them. Now, Biden is trying to portray himself as the establishment Democrat, the mainstream Democrat, although he's bent in the other direction, too, in as you saw with Medicare and climate change. He signed on to the Green New Deal. She is saying, you know, look, how much is this going to cost? Is this what you really want? People don't want to have this jarring upheaval in their lives. They want to keep their doctors. They want to keep their plans. And she's trying to be a compassionate Democrat who sees that there's that great change, this leftist change, just in the name of making big waves, is not the answer. And I don't know. Maybe these Republicans think she'll be easy. I don't know. I'm not sure. Do they think she'll be an easy opponent for Trump?
Yeah, but I don't think either one of the ones I spoke today thought she had any chance in the world. You know, they think it'll be somebody at the top.
They do.
Yeah.
Did they say any specifics, or are you not at liberty?
Biden. I think. One thought that Biden's going to win and that he'll hold on, and then the other ones thought that it was going to be Kamala Harris.
Really?
Kamala Harris. So I don't know.
God forbid.
Right. Well,
God forbid.
So I think a lot of people are saying that. Boy, she's got a mean look to her. I just watched her interview this morning. She has a very harsh look. I mean, she's an attractive woman if she'd smile or if she was.
She's okay. Yeah. You know, look, I don't know what her husband saw in her, and I'm still trying to figure this out. This is I don't know. I've never seen her husband interviewed. I've never heard him on an interview, so I don't know. Maybe he seems to just stay in the background, much the way Mayor Pete's husband, whatever his name is, Chastain or something, I don't know. He stays in the background too, so we don't know these people. We don't know what they're like. We don't know what the dynamics are of their relationships with their significant others. But I don't know. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I saw her
on an interview, and she was very.
Yeah, she was harsh looking. Yeah, now I don't know her husband at all, but I imagine she says, "You sit there and you shut up, and when I tell you you could talk, you could talk." You know, I mean, I can see that she seems.
Yeah. Now he's an attorney. He's a very prominent attorney.
Really?
Prominent. I don't know him, but in his field, he is. He's very successful. He's wealthy. And I think they went to the same law school.
You know, she seems like the type, and I shouldn't just say that about her husband. She seems like the type that would be like that with everyone. I imagine she's a very difficult boss to work for.
Possibly, although that's what they said about Amy Klobuchar, that she's extremely difficult.
Yeah. I can see. I can see that also. But Kamala just seems, she seems angry. She seems mad. And, you know, we got a president that's angry and a difficult boss and seems mad. You know, maybe the public doesn't mind that, but I don't know. The Democrats.
I don't know. But it's interesting that you're one of your colleagues or one of yours. I don't know if he's a colleague of yours.
Friends.
Friend. I guess you can't name him, but he feels she may be the nominee and not the other way around with Biden.
That was the male friend that I was speaking to that he thought Kamala Harris is going to come out on top. Some people think, oh, maybe Warren's going to do this or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, it's not an all-star team. That is not a.
It is not. I don't think we've seen the likes of Lincoln for how many generations.
Who is it though? This is who wants to run for president, right? It's a wide open seat on the Democratic side, and these. Yeah. This is what it comes down to. It comes down to these 55 people. I remember when I was younger, some gentleman, and he was a bright guy. He said, you know, there's leadership in this country. It's just it's too smart to come out and go into politics. It's running Coca-Cola and it's running, you know, Oracle. Well, now, you know, Oracle and Apple and, you know, Microsoft, you know, that's the companies now. But, you know, he was giving these the big companies of the day, you know, that, of what would be. And they were like, why would they take a pay cut for this nonsense, you know, to be scrutinized?
For the stress.
Stress.
The stress. The problems, you're right, the scrutiny. I mean, it may have seemed bad back before, we had, 15 years ago with Bush, but now with social media and 24/7 news coverage, it's even worse. Every little thing you do or say is put under a microscope. Your own family is subject to scathing comments. So, which sane person would want something like that?
Right, and that's what it is. Well, we see who wants it. We see, there's a difference between saying, "Yeah, I'd like to be president," and being in a position where you could be taken seriously. Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, Melissa Eiteljuren.com is where everyone should go and check her out. Check out the documentary. We'll be talking about another film that will be about her, and promises to be wonderful as she is. You got to see her in all her glory. She is terrific. And you hear her here, and she's wonderful. iHeartRadio.com is a good place to binge listen to everything that we've been doing. Frank McKay here with Melissa Eiteljuren for a couple more minutes. Melissa, all the people on that stage are people that feel they have a shot at being president, and some of them don't make, don't pass the giggle test. But these are the people. This is the cream of the crop of the Democratic Party that is willing to do this, that feel that they have passed the chuckle test, the giggle test. You know, these are the people that could actually do it. Out of everybody in this country, this is who's out there who would like to run for president. And if you want to, go back 3 years, we saw these 17 remaining, the 17, folks left standing. I was going to say men, but also women were in there. I went blank. Who was the Staples CEO? Cauley Fiorina, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
was she? No, she was with. Wasn't she with Hewlett Packard? Or
yes, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Hewlett. Yeah, I don't know where I got Staples.
Well, they were in Staples anyway. They
right.
were in Staples.
Right. That crew plus this crew, that's it. And the whole country, this is who has a chance to be president or thought they had a chance to be their party's nominee. And this is what we got. This is the best of the bunch. And, I don't know. We're going to get the best of a bad bunch to run against who, many people don't like. Mm-hmm. Many people. He does everything possible to offend people. And, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But this is the best of a bad bunch. And this is the best of a bunch. I won't be so opinionated there. But in a minute and a half, are there people out there that are better than this? They just are just too smart to say, I'm running, I want it, I want to do this. Are there people out there who can do a much better job, but they're not even thinking about it because of the press and the stress and the, you know, just the structure of what it does to your family?
Possibly. You know, when you're saying better, who are more electable or better qualified?
Better qualified, you know, better quality people, you know, better, you know, better to do this whole thing. I got to believe there is, right? I mean, this is the cream of the crop. This is the best that we have to offer. And again, I'm not disparaging everybody on that stage, but like I said, this isn't the Hall of Fame. This isn't the political Hall of Fame come back to life. And there's no reincarnation of Lincoln. And, what are we looking at? Who emerges? Who stands out? I mean, is anybody standing out to you? Is there one that stands above the rest for you? Is it Klobuchar? Is it somebody else? Who's the best of this bunch?
The best of the bunch. Well, if you lower your standards a little bit. I would say, I think Amy Klobuchar is definitely, I think she's a good candidate. I think her intentions are good. I think she is, I think she's very sincere. Does she have enough support, enough charisma to pull this off? I don't know. In this day and age, I think otherwise on paper, I think she's a good candidate. Cory Booker, he's very flamboyant, and you saw he was asserting himself during the debate. One wonders, though, is he trying to audition for vice president as a backup? And he's changed his views. I mean, he's come around, you know, bow face, and he's made himself open to the Green New Deal, to the more progressive side. You know, he's
compromising all over the place.
Yes, he has, and he's made some statements which I think were inconsistent with his record as the mayor of Newark.
Yeah.
Leading up to his senatorial tenure, he supported charter schools. He took money. He invited Mark Zuckerberg, or Mark Zuckerberg came and offered, and he invited Mark Zuckerberg to come to Newark and infuse the Newark school system, and I think that included the charter schools as well, with a lot of funding. And here he's saying public schools are the great saviors of society or whatever. And he's not really. I mean, he had a very privileged educational upbringing, background, because he happened to be academically superior, so he had the best schools. He didn't have to struggle. I don't think his story is necessarily representative of what the most of the citizens in Newark, New Jersey, experienced, with all the gunshots and schoolyard shootings and innocent people getting caught in the crossfire. I don't think he's being quite clear in trying to make that point. So but of course he's a terrific debater, terrific speaker, but you know, then again, I question his motive. So Biden is trying to hold on to a legacy, and does he have it? The question is, does he have the steam to go? And I didn't like what Castro said to him.
No,
I
didn't like that.
No.
Yeah, it's, listen, all fair and love and politics, I guess. But
right.
Boy, I think he lost points on that. Melissa,
yes.
I'm sure you joining me and thanking everyone for joining us each and every week. And
absolutely.
And Melissa, thank you. And
thank you, Frank.
Once again, everyone go to melissaiteljorin.com, watch the documentary, and go to iHeartRadio.com and binge listen to everything we've been doing. We'll see you next week on the Melissa Itell Jorin Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell Jorin and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.